You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com. Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You're feeding grain-free. There are no fleas. You've tried every lotion, potion, and supplement on the internet. You're about to banish your dog from the bedroom because you aren't getting any sleep. That incessant itching, biting, scratching, and licking are driving both of you crazy. Help! The causes of skin irritation are myriad. You may not be able to cure them, but control is possible. Dr. Andrew Hillier is the veterinary medical lead of dermatology at Zoetis. We'll chat about the most common myths and newest treatment options for allergic dermatitis. Now both of you can sleep easier at night and get back to the fun of life. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
You know that feeling when you go to clean the litter box and it's a complete disaster? Yeah, we've got you covered. Introducing World's Best Cat Litter Zero Mess, the advanced litter that gives you 2 times better clumping and more odor control with less litter. Zero Mess combines the concentrated power of corn with superabsorbent plant fibers. Translation, scoop once and you're done. Find it at a pet store near you and save $2. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Hillier, thank you very much for being with us today. This is a problem that I see every day in my practice.
Yes, Bernadine, this is a very common problem. Do you know that according to pet insurance data, that allergic dermatitis and skin infections which manifest with itch and chronic ear disease are 3 of the most common reasons why pet owners take their dogs to veterinarians. So when I hear veterinarians telling me how often they see itchy dogs and chronic skin disease in dogs, it's absolutely validated by the information that we have about these diseases. So yeah, we have to learn to diagnose and to treat these if we are going to be meeting the needs of our clients and of their pets.
Dr. Hillier, I know that itching is so much more than just annoying. Why is it so important to get that itch under control, especially before it gets going on too long?
That's a terrific question, because really what I try and impress upon people is to try and make a specific diagnosis, understand what is causing the itch. Because if we understand the cause, then we can institute specific treatments, and then the probability of successful outcomes improves dramatically. And I'll give you an example. It's very simple. You might have an itchy dog that is scratching and biting and chewing at its rear end because it's flea allergic. If you don't recognize that that's flea allergy, then you don't go on and do flea control. And really the best treatment for that dog is get rid of all the fleas. We can stop the itch with a variety of treatments, and we need to do that at times. But knowing specifically that it's a flea allergic dog, the primary treatment at the end of the day for that patient should be flea control. It's the same as a dog with food allergy. Whilst we have a variety of medications that can reduce the itch in dogs that have food allergy, really what you want to do with that patient is change its diet. That would be the ultimate way of controlling a food allergic dog's disease.
So Dr. Hillier, you mentioned fleas, and I know some dogs are so exquisitely sensitive that it's just that one flea bite that can drive them crazy. And I tell my clients in Southern California that year-round flea control is so important, because that adult flea they see, it only makes up about 5% of the entire flea population, though it stays on the pet the majority of the time. the rest of the life cycle is in the environment. So my smart little quip is, you know, Earth after the atomic bomb comes and goes, we're going to be left with fleas, cockroaches, rats, and politicians. Somehow they will all survive. So you mentioned food allergy. And as I stated in my intro, that oftentimes people think that grains are causing the problem. And just in general, what are some of the most common causes of that itching, biting, scratching dog?
So when a veterinarian is presented with the dog, the primary complaint is itching. And let's just make sure we understand what the manifestations of itch are. That could be anything from biting, to licking, to chewing, to rubbing, to scooting, to gnawing at the feet. All of those things are really manifestations of itch. And if that's what's going on, then essentially there are three categories of disease you have to think about. Firstly, it could be parasites. We've already mentioned fleas is probably the main parasite that can lead to itch. Secondly, there are infections, and there are bacterial and yeast infections of the skin that contribute to itch. And finally, and the biggest category overall, is allergic disease. And there are a variety of allergies. There's flea allergy, there's food allergy, there's contact allergy. And the one that we are diagnosing more and more and that we have struggled till recently to control is a disease called atopic dermatitis. So that's just a brief summary of what causes itch in dogs. Parasites, infection, and allergy.
So if it's parasites, you look for the fleas, other parasites, get rid of them. If you're going to have a contact allergy, that, I guess, would be the shampooing that we recommend. And oftentimes people I know are really concerned about shampooing their pets too frequently. You know, they'll say, oh, very proudly, oh, I don't shampoo more than once a month. But sometimes that shampooing is important to get that allergen off the skin, correct?
Yeah, that's a really great point. If you have a dog that has allergies, then shampooing as frequently as you can, maybe even weekly. And of course, it's difficult to sustain long term. But if you can do once a week or every couple of weeks, to me, there are two really important parts of shampooing. Number one is to remove those contact irritants and those allergens off the skin. And number two is to control the infections, which we know are so common and such an important part of allergies. And I think the way to help prevent recurrence of infections in allergic dogs is through shampooing. And as you point out, to get rid of the allergens and the irritants that are on the skin. That certainly helps dogs with chronic allergic disease.
Dr. Hillier, before we really get into atopy, because I know that you're saying is one of the most common causes for dogs to have this itching, biting, scratching, chewing, rubbing, scooting problem, is talking about food. Is food allergies that common? Is grain-free that important?
That's a really great question. And we don't have any certainty about how often food allergy really is the cause of the problem. My personal experience is that atopic dermatitis, and we'll get into what that disease is in just a moment, but atopic dermatitis and flea allergy are far more common than food allergy. That's not to deny the fact that there are some dogs that actually have reactions to things that they ingest. And sometimes owners will come in and tell you that, gosh, my dog got in and some of the chicken that we ate last night, and the dog's going crazy today. And they will actually tell you what's happening. It's not difficult to make those diagnoses. But you asked specifically, Bernadine, about grain-free diets. Well, it's kind of interesting. The research tells us that dogs that really do have food allergy, the most common things to which they are allergic are beef, dairy products, and fish. And in fact, grains are something around 10% of dogs with food allergy are allergic to grains. So the point being that we learn from that is that if you avoid grains on a grain-free diet, you've only taken care of maybe 10% of dogs. That really doesn't tell you about the possibility in the other 90% of food allergic dogs, you haven't done anything for them. And I think a lot of people get misled by the fact that, oh, my dog's on a grain-free diet, therefore it cannot be food allergic. I think if you look at the data that I've just mentioned, you understand why I, as a veterinarian, say, well, in fact, a dog could still be allergic because it's the other things, not the grains, that tend to be the ingested allergens that they react to.
Allergy testing, allergy diagnosis. When I start talking to a client that has an itchy pet, I always tell them, we're going to get to know each other really well because we're going to need to see each other again and again. And sometimes it's a matter of some trial and error of figuring out exactly what's causing it. Again, telling them I'm probably not going to be able to cure this, but we hopefully will be able to control it so you're both feeling so much better. You were talking about atopy, and I want to get into that maybe before we get into the testing and diagnosis of this. So tell us, what is atopy?
So atopic dermatitis is a really common allergic disease of dogs. And in fact, there's several million dogs in the United States that are affected. And probably the best way to describe it is this is very similar to hay fever and asthma in humans. And so dogs, when they're exposed to pollens and dust mites and mold spores to which they're allergic, they don't get respiratory disease. They don't cough and sneeze and have runny eyes. Dogs, on the other hand, they actually get itchy skin disease. So it's the same thing. Humans get respiratory disease. Dogs get skin disease. And what's really characteristic about it is, firstly, it's the itch. These dogs are always itchy and scratching. And secondly, that itch is directed at certain areas of the body. So in atopic dermatitis, we find those dogs tend to have itch around their face. They have chronic ear disease. So all those dogs that get recurrent infections of their ears and scratch at their ears and shake their head, the vast majority of them have atopic dermatitis. The third area is the underside, which is kind of the armpits and the belly area. And finally, atopic dogs also tend to be foot lickers and rubbers, and they chew at their nails and that sort of thing. So it's an itchy disease. They're allergic to pollens, dust mites, mold spores, and it's very particular areas of the body that at least initially are affected.
So that's why there seems to be the seasonality to it of, okay, you look back in the medical records and every March, need it or not, that pet seems to be coming in because, that itch has started up again. And myself, for instance, in Southern California, where we have pretty much good weather year round, I think that maybe that's some of that reason. Would you concur that it seems to be a year round itchy sensation?
Yeah, and we know that there's certainly seasonality. I mean, where I practiced in the Midwest in the fall, dogs that were ragweed allergic would get terrible from July through October. But the vast majority of these dogs actually have disease and itch year-round. It's just at certain times of the year they tend to get worse, depending on their specific allergies or hypersensitivities. So dogs that are tree allergic, for example, tend to be worse in the spring. And if you're grass allergic, you tend to be worse in the summer. And if you're weed allergic, that tends to be fall. But most dogs tend to have year-round disease as the basis for their disease.
These poor kids, it seems to really get into their little heads where that itching is not just the skin after a while. They almost just seem to look at a blade of grass and start itching. We're going to be talking a bit more with Dr. Andrew Hillier. He is the veterinary medical lead of dermatology at Zoetis. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
My golden retriever, Sundance, is a lot more playful now. She has more pep and energy.
Tons of energy.
Happy the rescue dog is Happy the healthy dog.
Petey is having fun again. He's got a shiny coat and a good healthy weight.
Molly's been having 4 scoops a day. She pushes her little bowl all the way across the room, emptying every last single crumb. She has slimmed down and gotten this puppy look.
She's got life. She's got energy.
We get asked all the time when we're at shows, how do you get your dog so healthy and shiny and glossy?
DinoVite.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
DinoVite is nutrition.
Just feed your dog right.
Due to DinoVite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite for life.
DinoVite.com.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Hillier, before the break, you were talking about this seasonality where oftentimes they just are itchy year-round. But I know it can be a lot very frustrating for clients that are coming in, dog owners are saying, you know, my dog is now 7 years of age. He's never had itching before, and now all of a sudden he's driving us crazy. It is possible, correct, to grow into allergies.
Oh, for sure. We know that most dogs that are going to be allergic tend to start with their disease between about 1 and 3 years of age. But we will see some dogs, they just have low-grade disease that doesn't bother anybody for maybe 5 or 6 years. But for some reason, once they're 6 or 7 or 8 years of age, it suddenly gets a whole bunch worse. And so the first time that they presented to a veterinarian is at the sort of middle age to getting a little older. So it's a misnomer to think it only affects young dogs. Certainly we'll see dogs of a more advanced age starting with disease that now needs to be medicalized and managed to give them some reasonable quality of life.
There are so many different ways that people try to control this horrible sensation. If anyone's ever had really bad allergies, and I know as a child, I had really bad allergies. My mom would put me to sleep at night with socks on my hands, trying to keep me from scratching. And I think if she could, you know, she would have chained me down to the bed so I wouldn't scratch. But I understand how horribly uncomfortable this is. So with our pets, we try to keep them comfortable. And oftentimes, boy, you see this commercial, you see this advertisement, and you go, that's going to work for my dog. Why is it so important to get their pet in early versus later when they have this itchy pet?
And what's really important is to provide effective and safe treatment from the very first time. And we want to do that because if we can, as a veterinarian, I can demonstrate to an owner, I understand what is going on with your dog, that your dog has allergies, and I can provide effective treatment, then they are going to come back whenever that might flare in the future. And that's why we want to use things, and these days we're in such a better position. We have products like Apoquil, which is an oral daily medication that is highly effective, providing very rapid relief of itch. It starts working within 4 hours, and within 24 hours, there's a significant decrease in the itch. And it's a really safe product. So that has such great value for owners because in the past, what we've had are things like antihistamines. And the truth of the matter, Bernadine, and I'm sure you've experienced this, is that antihistamines only work in 1 in 4 patients. That's incredibly disappointing. That doesn't generate trust and confidence from an owner and a veterinarian. Compared to Apoquil, it's going to be highly effective in the vast majority of patients. And so what veterinarians in the past have done is not use so much antihistamine, but they've had to rely really on steroids, right? And steroids, whilst they are reasonably effective, and we've all used steroids, and we know that they do help relieve itch, but they come with an incredible burden. And even if you use steroids short-term for a matter of a few weeks whilst you control the itch initially, that almost always in most patients leads to changes of behavior. Maybe dog becomes more anxious, it pants more, it might become aggressive, they drink more, they urinate more, you've got to let the dog out in the middle of the night. So whilst you've relieved the itch, you've added another burden that wasn't there before. And so it's not really an attractive treatment option. And certainly if you use them any longer term, the impact on the dog's health is very significant. And so these days now we have Apoquil, and that really gives us an opportunity to control the relief of the itch rapidly and effectively. That allows us then to make that diagnosis and at the end of the day, institute specific treatments. So we're in a much better position now than we were just a few short years ago.
So Apoquil sounds like a perfect treatment for a pet that maybe, it has a waxing and waning of this itching, biting situation where, all right, I'm not so bad. The owner can now recognize when it needs the medication and give it. Would that be correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're describing a dog, Bernadine, that may not even know exactly what allergy the dog has. And one of the beautiful things about Apoquil is it can be used in dogs with any allergic disease. So whilst you're in that process of trying to understand, remember I said right in the beginning, try and make a specific diagnosis so that you can institute specific treatments? That takes a little bit of time sometimes. It might take several weeks, might take several months, might take even longer. In the meantime, you've got to control the dog's disease. Provide some relief for the pet so that they're not scratching. And that's what the owner's expected. And Apoquel can do that because it controls pruritus in dogs with any kind of allergy. And so sometimes, you know, just intermittently, once or twice a year, three or four times a year, you can absolutely use Apoquel to provide that relief and give that dog its comfort and satisfy the owner who's there and says, please, stop my dog from scratching.
Dr. Hilliard, you mentioned allergy testing. And I know there's a lot of controversy with either blood testing. You can go online and find that there are these kits that you can take a swab of your dog's mouth, send that in, they'll test and figure out what your pet's allergic to. They'll say they can even do food allergy testing. What are your views on the various ways of allergy testing, trying to figure out what's causing your pet's itch?
You know, what I would say to you is the most important thing to recognize about allergy testing is that they are somewhat misnamed, because it would imply that if you do one of these tests, and I don't care which one you want to mention to me, there's the saliva test, the blood test, the skin test, but it is almost like the implication is it's a test to diagnose the disease. And that's not the case at all. And so most veterinarians, and certainly all dermatologists, would agree that the utility and the use of allergy testing is when you have a dog with atopic dermatitis, and you've decided that the form of treatment that you want to try with that patient is allergy shots or allergy drops, and you have to formulate a vaccine to make up those shots or drops, that's when you do an allergy test. So I think too many owners think that an allergy test is useful in ruling in or ruling out a specific disease, and that's not the case at all. They really are there to be able to know which specific things the dog is allergic to so that they can be included in these shots or drops.
And how effective, when you were in clinical practice, did you find that these allergy vaccines really helped? And how long did it take? Because I know in my hands, I will tell people, all right, we'll do the allergy testing. Probably it will take 9 months to a year to see if we're going to have a positive effect. And if we have a positive effect, that positive effect may not be as great as we would both hope. What's happened in your hands?
I think what you describe is very fair comment, and I would agree with you 100%. So you've probably seen, and I certainly had patients that after a period of time, and it is maybe 9 months, maybe 12 months, that have done very nicely with allergen immunotherapy, these vaccines. But in fact, it's a very big ask of owners to go with an allergy test and then to wait 9 or 12 months before their pet is improved. And that's why so few of them actually get to the point of allergy testing and vaccines. We need something a whole lot better that's effective and that works quickly, that's sustainable, and it is safe, and not waiting 9 to 12 months. And that's why things like Apoquel and things like Cytopoint, which we will talk about in just a moment, are so attractive to owners.
So Apoquel seems to be fabulous for the I need some help right now, owners can control it. You brought up Cytopoint. Thank you very much. Cytopoint is a whole new animal that's out there. People hear about biologics and it's like, what's a biologic? So tell us about Cytopoint. That is really fascinating. I know that's a new medication that I have in my armamentarium, and I've been having some wonderful success with it.
Yes, Cytopoint is a biologic. It's not a traditional drug, and it's the first biologic that's been widely available for companion animal veterinarians and to owners of dogs, and certainly in the dermatology space. And what it is actually it's antibodies that are really very similar to the dog's own natural antibodies. And you know how important antibodies are in fighting like viral diseases, for example, and that's why we vaccinate. Well, what we're doing with Cytopoint is we are injecting this antibody and we're kind of helping the immune system, because what Cytopoint does and what that antibody does is it specifically targets and neutralizes a protein that we know is the primary cause of itch in these atopic dogs. Remember I said atopic dermatitis is a disease that's characterized by itch, and these dogs are allergic to the pollens and all those things? Well, it so turns out that there is a protein that these atopic dogs produce in excess, and Cytopoint has been designed to specifically target and neutralize that protein. Therefore, we eliminate the itch, and that gives the skin time to heal. And that's why it's such an effective form of treatment.
So you mentioned an injection, and I know that people, when they're giving, we were talking about the desensitization, the allergy testing, that vaccine, that most pet owners are giving this injection themselves, and they're having to do it oftentimes several times a week, getting down to maybe once a week, every other week. How often is Cytopoint administered, and who's doing that administration?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Cytopoint is a biologic, and all biologics are administered only by injection, and they're administered in the clinic by the veterinarian or possibly by the veterinary technician. And that's what's so different from all the traditional drugs that we've had in the past, which are mostly oral medications administered by owners frequently to maintain their duration of effect, maybe daily, several times a day. Cytopoint's quite different. It's an injectable given by a very simple subcutaneous injection at the veterinary clinic, and it has effect for 4 to 8 weeks. This is not a daily thing or even a weekly thing. The vast majority of dogs experience relief from their itch for 4 to 8 weeks. That's a highly attractive option for many owners.
And again, it is not a steroid.
Absolutely. This is totally different from anything that anybody has known before. It's not a steroid. It's not a cyclosporine. It's not a fancy antihistamine. It's not fatty acid. It's nothing that anybody has recognized before in veterinary medicine. And so that really is true, because what you might be intimating there is that there have been some long-acting steroids around for a long time. And that really is so 1980s. This is the 21st century. We now have 21st century innovative technology in veterinary medicine, and that's Cytopoint. And we don't have any of the side effects that are associated with steroids. It's not only a highly effective treatment that starts to work within 24 hours and reduces itch down to a level of very mild to almost non-existent within 2 days, but it's also very safe. And of course, you know, what's something that's effective if it's not safe? And this is really a very safe product as well. So we've come a long way from those steroid days and those long-acting steroid injections. There's really just no need for any dog to have those treatments in this day and age.
You'd mentioned that it's a biologic. What are examples of some other biologics that our listeners might be familiar with?
Yeah, I think the traditional biologics that we all understand and fall into the same broad category of vaccines, okay? So we, all of us, go and administer vaccines to our pets so that they don't get diseases like rabies and distemper and parvovirus. So they are also biologics, but that is quite different. And there's a very fundamental and simple difference from vaccines and monoclonal antibodies. So vaccines are designed to stimulate the immune system of the dog. They're meant to be to activate the immune system. Monoclonal antibodies, like we have with Cytopoint, are actually not designed to upset or disturb or stimulate the immune system at all. We are providing the antibody. We're not asking the body to produce these antibodies. The injection provides the antibody that's needed. So whilst they all fall under the category of biologics, vaccines and anything that might happen to vaccines are quite different to the administration of monoclonal antibodies.
So I know a lot of people listening hear the word vaccine and get themselves just in tizzy thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I'm concerned to give my children vaccines. I'm concerned about over-vaccinating my pets. And now we're talking about, you know, here is this biologic. But I love the fact, Dr. Hillier, that you mentioned that it's not a vaccine, that we're giving the antibody that is extremely safe. But I know some of the people listening saying, all right, and I have an older dog who has itching, biting, scratching, has liver disease, kidney disease, has heart disease, whatever. Is it safe to give Cytopoint with these comorbidities, fancy term for other diseases that are going on?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I agree with you. There are people who don't particularly want to give their dog any vaccines for a variety of reasons. And that's why I made the point that monoclonal antibody therapy is totally different. The safety of Cytopoint has been verified by the governing body, which is the USDA. You know, there's a label, and the label tells you a bunch of information for the veterinarian and for the pet owner, what to expect in terms of efficacy, how well it works, and also in terms of safety. And if you actually go and look at the label on Cytopoint, the label has absolutely no limitation on any dog that could be treated with Cytopoint of any age with any comorbidity or other disease, as you point out, on any other medication. There's absolutely no limitation on any of those points. And I think if you consider that...
That never happens.
Exactly. When last did you read a label like that? And that speaks volumes to our understanding of the really terrific safety profile of Cytopoint.
So here's a medication that's safe, that's effective, that the owner doesn't have to administer, that the veterinarian administers every 48 weeks. This must be one that you're going to have to take out a second mortgage on your home.
Well, you might think that, and some people who were aware of some of the monoclonal antibodies used in humans might have some awareness of that. In fact, this medication has been, the cost of this medication has been structured to be really highly affordable for dogs, even the size of German Shepherds and Golden Retrievers. And in fact, what we believe is the value of this product and what it produces in terms of outcomes. So for 4 to 8 weeks, we provide relief from irritation with a single injection. And without the owner having any burden of care, having to give daily oral medications or shampooing multiple times a week or applying a variety of topicals. So when you consider what comes with not just a decrease in irritation, but everything that goes with that, the vast majority of people whose dogs have been treated with Cytopoint say the value of an injection once every 4 to 8 weeks, what that meant to me and my experience of using this treatment compared to everything else was so superior that they are absolutely delighted with it.
Sounds awesome. I know, again, in my hands, I've had very good success. When I tell my clients the cost of the medication, they look at me going, is that it? Because they're used to giving many times Apoquil, which is a very effective medication, and they go, yes, anything just to stop the itching so we can all sleep at night and get back to the fun of life. Dr. Hilliard, this information I know has really been very impactful for my listeners because itching, biting, scratching, chewing, fussing, scooting, all these things they see too often. Where else can they go to get some good information on Cytopoint and Apoquil?
Yeah, Bernadine, thanks for asking. We actually have 2 websites which are specifically designed to provide information to owners about allergies and atopic dermatitis, as well as about Cytopoint and Apoquil. And those 2 websites are cytopointfordogs.com, that's Cytopoint, the number 4, dogs.com, and apoquildogs.com. And so you'll get a lot of information there about allergies and atopic dermatitis, but I really would like to emphasize to folks that if they see their dog and they even think that there might be abnormal itchy behavior, any one of those things you describe, it's really important to go to your veterinarian and discuss what you've seen because they're in the best position to make a specific diagnosis and really treat dogs with Apoquil such that we, and Cytopoint for that matter if it's atopic dermatitis, such that we get really the optimal and desired results. So go to those websites, see if your dog might have any of the signs that are discussed there, and then go to your veterinarian and discuss what can be done to control your dog's itch.
Great information, Dr. Hilliard, and definitely seeing them earlier than later is so important. We've been talking to Dr. Andrew Hilliard. He is the veterinary medical lead of dermatology at Zoetis. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please tune in again next week. We'll give you some great information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.